we have a time for a discussion. So if there are any questions or comments about what I said or about what you experienced, it's really widely open. Yes. So you see, this is actually not decided. You see, it's not decided because there's still a debate about it. That's why next year I am organizing a mini symposium on feeling tone, and I hope we might get to grip with this question, actually. Yes? Okay, the question was about neutrality and equanimity. Is it similar or different? And actually, there is no like consensus really on that. So personally, I have a little feeling that it's connected. But I would not say a neutral feeling tone is necessarily an equanimous feeling tone, but it could become equanimous. At the same time, I think if we have to be careful to think that meditation is going to make us neutral with everything. Because sometimes there is a little kind of, I can see that faint idea floating about. And personally, I don't think that's what it is about. What might happen is that if there was this kind of really sharp up and down, very likely the meditation might modulate a little bit. So I think kind of the equanimity would modulate that, and I'll talk more about this this afternoon. But let's say, I would not recommend it, but if you touch something hot, I mean a good example is a tap in the bathroom. Then you have the cold and you have the hot. And why did they create the one where you have the two coming together? Because feeling tone-wise, it's a better experience generally. So you open the cold, too cold. So you could be with the cold and still feel the unpleasantness of the cold, but without doing anything to it. So you could still feel the cold, it's unpleasant, but you could be equanimous about it. Oh, this is terrible, why don't they have this double kind of joint tap? You open the hot, oops, it's very hot very quickly. So I'm not sure that the idea is I put my hand under the cold freezing tap and it doesn't make, and I'm neutral. Or I put the hand under the really hot tap and I feel neutral. Because I think, you know, either way, I mean, unless you are insensitive to sensation, which sometimes is not very good evolution-wise, then, oh, this is painful? This is painful. So I think, but it's true that it's not decided. I mean, some people, like, for example, Goenka very much connect neutrality, neutral feeling tone, with equanimity. But not everybody does that in the Buddhist tradition. So there's still a debate about the connection between the neutral feeling tone and equanimity. Personally, I have a slight feeling that in a way, the neutral feeling tone can turn into a peaceful, resting feeling tone, which could give us a little taste of what equanimity could be. Personally, I think then there is a question about equanimity. How does it feel? Because you see, you have a kind of a little bit between, is it equanimity? And then it's neutral. Then it can easily become indifferent, which personally, I am not so sure, but I want equanimity to be indifferent. So could you have a creatively engaged equanimity within which you could have different feeling tone. But you could have a little taste of it, possibly with having a creatively engagement with a neutral. So I think there is all these little different things to look at there. Yes. Okay, so I'm going to explain that. So it's really like okay, you see the daffodil, or you see this flower, you see the daffodil, and upon seeing the daffodil, there is a tiny feeling tone. Generally, nice, let's say. And that kind of like, it's kind of like, oh, it's pleasant. Or if when you're very hot and you have a little breeze, fresh breeze, that's nice. Or if you're cold and then there is a little kind of warm wind, that's nice. So it's kind of that immediate contact of pleasant, unpleasant, neither. When feeling, to me, is when there is more of, I would nearly say that before you have feeling, I would nearly say, because I think feeling, emotion, it depends. Are we defining, are we talking scientifically, then there are many, many different stratum, or are we just talking in general? Then in general, personally, I feel what we have that pleasant, unpleasant, neither, but it's different from actually, unless it's really intense, and then it can become quite close. There I would agree in terms of when it's intense. But when suddenly, in a way, you feel what I would call a feeling sensation, which is different. Like you kind of, you know, you're sitting in meditation, or you go about your day, or somebody said something to you, or I don't know, you think of something or whatever happened, and then suddenly it's like, you start to get kind of like certain, what you could call a sensation in the body, which is not just a plain sensation of pain in the knee, but what you could call an emotional sensation. So you might call that feeling. Personally, I would call that feeling sensation. And so then you start to feel something. And you generally feel it in the body. When the feeling tone is just that first moment of contact, which is kind of a little more basic, I would say. It's not so complex. So it feels, if it's really intense, and it might feel very, could feel more possibly emotional. So you have that feeling sensation, so you feel a little different. And if you bring mindfulness to that, generally what we do, that we have a feeling sensation and immediately we name it. I feel sad, I feel angry, something is not working, I feel shy, I feel anxious. And then generally you go into kind of the story of it. So that's often what happens. Sometimes you might have what I would call an emotion, in so far that you really feel quite, kind of get a little more intense. And then you feel anxious. But it's not just here. There it's a whole body-mind complex. Feel anxious. Like your thoughts are anxious. I'm doing some connection with some scientific research with something. And so I was doing an fMRI. And it was my second one. And the first one, really, it was tough for me to go in there. Not because of the machine, not because of the sound. Just because of what they put around here, the neck, because it was constrict my windpipe. And immediately my body went into, no way, we're not doing this. And so, I mean, I managed to do it, but it took some 10 minutes to come down. So this time is the second one, I know it's okay. But it's still the same thing. As soon as this thing is here, my body is kind of like, I know it's fine and it's not dangerous and anything. My body is saying, I really don't like this. You know, my lungs is reacting or something is reacting. But less than before. But I feel something. But then it's more like kind of like a, you could say it's a physical sensation, but it nearly becomes an emotion. And also mentally, I know everything is fine. I have this feeling I can't do this. And then it's kind of like emotional. And then, because I've done lots of meditation, I do different things, and then it goes. But I could then be taken over by this. And then I would call it a disturbing emotion. So for me, for Vedana, feeling torn is really the first contact. And in a way, the mindfulness of Vedana is trying to make us aware of that. Because generally, we're gone into the feeling sensation, the emotion, or we're going in the commenting. Oh, I like that bird. This reminded me of this. What kind of bird is this, or whatever? Exactly. Of course. That's what is interesting with the Buddha's teaching, is that he says the sixth sense is the mind, is a producing of thought. And he's saying that there is also there a contact. And so in the second meditation, sitting meditation in the afternoon, that's what I want to do. Kind of just to be aware of the contact with a thought. Because you see, you have many different type of thought. And some are fairly neutral. You have a thought, I need to buy butter, or I need to buy shampoo. I mean, you know, it's fairly neutral. But you have some thought, it's like the immediately, kind of you have either very pleasant or either very unpleasant or middling. So yeah. And also it can be internal in terms of sensation. That's what we'll do this afternoon, that you feel sensation. And that, generally, we have, quite a strong feeling tone with inner sensation, like a physical sensation. We also have a strong contact with, I would say, our emotional life. If we feel this feeling sensation, which is different, I mean, so I would say it's as much from outside stimuli than inside. Yes. I mean, that can be partly one of the definitions. Personally, when I look at equanimity, I like to look at, to see it, yes, as is often they talk of unshakable. Personally, I would rather have a look in terms of equanimity as something more active in a way. Because often we have the impression equanimity is like, you know, we kind of on our little clouds and we just fine on our little clouds and who cares, I'm fine on my little cloud. So, but yeah, to me, within equanimity, there is stability. There is balance, so it means we can go one side to the other, but we come back to a certain equilibrium. I think also there is acceptance, which is back to the possibly unshakability. I am accepting what is going on at this moment. But within it, personally, I would also see some creative engagement with what is going on, coming out of the equanimity. So we don't just there, that there is some kind of like a creative response if necessary. So it's not just a not doing something, but also it can be a creatively engaging. It depends on the situation. Sometimes you just have to sit there and be with it. And sometimes the idea is to creatively engage with it in an equanimous way, which means it's a stable way, it's a balanced way. It takes time. It took me a long time. It took me really a long time to kind of understand what was going on. This, I think, it's a very important practice, but it's not an easy practice because a lot of the time, our contact are very middling. You know, neutral, middling up, middling down. It's kind of not much is going on. So it's kind of like you have to be aware of something which is fairly light. It's a bit the same that if you kind of had some cotton, a little bit of cotton in your hand, well, you could feel it a little bit, but very little. I mean, if you had a lead, like 1 kilo lead in the hand, that you would really feel. But I think a lot of the time our experience is a little like kind of having contact with a little cotton. So it's kind of not very heavy, not very distinct, not very differentiated. So I think... we can notice it more when it's kind of obvious. So I would say kind of like when you see some color or some, you hear some sound or you have certain thought. So often at the beginning, we are more aware of it where it's more obvious. And then as we continue with it, we can be more aware of it in a kind of a more refined, I would say, when it's really subtle and the level of intensity is less. True. This is something possibly I could do next year. This is something that has interested me lately, is what's called in Buddhism the five nama factors. In a way, the five constituents of consciousness, that when they come together, then consciousness arises, which are different from the five skandhas, which are the five aggregates, so some are a little common. So then what the Buddha there is saying is that in a moment of consciousness, these five things arise together. And so what arises together is contact, feeling tone, perception, intention, and attention. So of course, as you're saying, you have the contact, you have the feeling tone, and immediately perception arises. Of course, perception. Then, at the same time, we're able to notice the feeling tone because attention is there. And then, generally, there is a movement with that kind of data, you could say. So, in a way, they all come together. So, you cannot say first you have contact, but they kind of all. And that's what the world makes sense to us. And that's why we feel about the world. That's why we are not robot or automated. We can be in contact. We, at the same time, we can feel, at the same time, we can perceive, at the same time, we can attend, and at the same time, we can move with that. So, of course, here I'm just pointing out contact and feeling tone. And yes, in a way, when you're aware of the feeling tone, then at the same time, there is attention. You need attention to be aware of that. So there is that activity going on. Generally, there is a perception. I mean, what is interesting is when you don't know what the thing is. This is very interesting. You're in contact with. Like, you know, you might hear a sound. Once I was sitting in meditation with a group, and I did not know the place, and we are sitting there, and time to time I would hear... No idea, you know, was it a pipe? Was it a mice? And it was very interesting to sit with a sound and where you had the perception of the sound, but there was little possibility for commenting. Because you see, the thing with each of these things is that you have the data, which the first basic data, but generally we go, you know, contact, often grasping will happen. Feeling tone, grasping will happen. I'll talk more about this afternoon. Perception, commenting, abstraction. So often what happens is that you see something, you see, that's what I find interesting with driving. I try to cultivate mindfulness when I drive. So I'm in the car, I see things around me. So there is a contact with being in the car, the contact with what I see. And of course, you could also have, you know, the feeling tone about I am in a hurry or whatever. But just if you have kind of normal going driving. And then I find myself thinking of something else. I find that fascinating. And then I try to come back to the contact of the car. Then I can see the contact with the thought and how that takes me somewhere else. But sometimes we have the contact and the feeling tone, the perception, but then the perception really go into commenting, that we have a kind of a great ability for that. So I think all of these five things which arise together and in a way makes us conscious and a human being, with a body, of course, within an environment. I think we're trying to, we're not trying to stop them, because that's being human, but we're trying to see what happens. On the point of contact, what happened? What do I do with the contact? Do I grasp? Do I creatively engage? What happened with the feeling tone? How does it develop? What happened with the perception? And things of that nature. I did not mention that. Ah, there is one thing I could mention. And then you can recomment. And then we'll see if we're going there. What I did not mention is that actually we have six senses. So at any given time, we can have actually very different feeling tones. So I mentioned that briefly. But what happened also often is that suddenly you have one which is going to predominate. So suddenly you could go through, that's why I would link the feeling tone to mood. So you could suddenly have the pleasant feeling tone with seeing something or hearing something or whatever. Then to kind of like nearly everything becomes pleasant. And this is very interesting when you are in that mood, which is, wow, yeah, this is wonderful. Oh, yeah, you know, I love you. I love everybody. And it's kind of a wonderful mood to be in. And it starts often with a kind of, often it can start with quite a simple thing. It's kind of very interesting. And then you can have the opposite, which is an unpleasant, you have an unpleasant experience because of something. And then suddenly the feeling tone converge and generalize in being unpleasant. And then, you know, somebody might tell you, but look, it's the sun is shining. And you say, who cares, you know. And it's very interesting also to see, where are they in balance? Where are they very disparate and you are confused? Like, you know, one moment you feel fine, next moment you feel unfine. It's kind of like, what's going on? It's kind of like there is different things going on. And sometimes they merge. So I don't know if that's where. Yes. Yeah, but I think, I mean, we'll talk more about this afternoon, but I think it's also a question of complexity. The reason, I think, to me, the way I feel this mindfulness of the feeling tone is not so much to pin them down. Like, I caught that one. It's not so much for that. I would not, personally, I would say it's more to be aware of that level of our experience and how that level of experience is influences us a lot. And how, of course, I was discussing this with somebody, how we can change feeling tone. You know, like if you bring a pleasant memory, you can actually change feeling tone. Or if you can go and do exercise, you can change the feeling tone that, in a way, they're not static, but they can kind of influence a lot of things. So often, I don't see the point so much as kind of being like a radar, trying to kind of really catch them, but more to kind of see that, yes, they're part of my experience, and to see how they influence us, how they influence the mood. I think we might be more aware of the mood. But then it's more, we can play more with the kind of specific contact. What you can play with is food. Food is interesting because there, I think, certain things, specific things are easy to be aware of at the contact and what happened. And some other are more tricky because it's kind of a more complex element. Where is the beginning, the basis, and what is the wanting? Yeah, and that's what we'll talk about. We'll talk about, because, yeah, I mean, this is, in a way, the teaching of the Buddha in terms of the feeling tone is very much about that. Yeah. So then we look at that aspect this afternoon, yeah. Yes. You see, I think it's kind of like a direction. It's kind of like if you are used to do the breath, then when I say listen to the sound, very likely your attention will also be with the breath. And that's totally fine. I think often when we talk in terms of that, you know, please put more attention there, please put more attention there. So it's kind of a little bit what is in the foreground, what is in the background. So if we're really used to the breath, then a lot of the time it will be in the foreground. But then, next to that foreground of the breath, you could bring more the sound and then leave the sensation or the thought really behind. So I see it more as a kind of like, you could, of course, just do listening or just do the breath. But often I feel we kind of like, you know, because of that ability we have to pay attention, we can pay attention to the breath, and then within it, we can bring a bit of the sound. Or we can open to the sound, and we still, just a little bit behind, aware of the breath. And that's fine, because actually what you might find is that if you do that, you will be more embedded in the experience. Because you're not excluding the sound, or you're not excluding the breath. So the idea is not to exclude something, but it's more kind of like what is in the foreground and then what complements it, then what is more in the periphery. Yes. The Dhamma factors. It's a contact, feeling tone, perception, attention. Attention, maybe I don't pronounce it well, and intention. figure. Actually, you see, to me, when I sit in meditation, and I mean, here, generally, it's not totally silent, so at times it's a little bit going toward it. But sometimes I sit in places which are really silent. And actually, personally, I think silence is a thing. And you're in contact with silence. Like you hear silence in a way. And often, if you hear silence, you kind of, it's kind of like there is a huh. It's kind of funny. If you sit there and you are, I mean, I'm not talking of a deprivation tank. I've never experienced it, so I don't know if that would be a different experience there. But if I see it somewhere which is relatively silent, it's kind of actually you have nearly different level of silence. Like you kind of, there can be a little buzzing or they can, so, generally, even the silence seems to me have a certain quality. But of course, if you listen to silence, it's very neutral. The feeling tone is not going to be very, unless you have problem with silence, and then maybe you might have. But generally, yeah, the feeling is very neutral, of course. And that's what the nun was saying. You know, the squeaking sound stops, and then you enjoy even more the silence. I mean, basically, that's what she was saying, that of course, you have, that's what I was trying to say, you have the condition within the thing happening. So, for example, somebody could walk, and there would be this squeaking sound, and I don't know if they're musically inclined. They could say, it has a little bit of this note and a little bit of that note. I mean, I know somebody like this, you know. Around him, he has all these notes. Me, I'm totally not inclined musically, so I don't have that context at all. So I was telling them to do listening meditation, but he was a sound engineer and he was a sound researcher. He said, I can't do it because, you know, I can't just listen to sound. You know, I'm kind of analyzing. So, of course, context. That's what I was saying, why the feeling tone are constructed by either the past context, but also very much by the present context. Oh, yeah, totally. The feeling tone depends on the condition. And then, of course, that's what is so interesting, is to see how by contrast, you know, you could have something and you don't think much of it. And then if you place it in a very different context or you have a different kind of mood, you would look at it in such a different way. And I think that's what one of the things that often I hear is people saying, well, I've heard this several times before, but only this time. Kind of suddenly, I understood something. So it's interesting, you hear the same word in a maybe slightly similar context, but your condition is different. And also there is a condition you develop over time. So of course, yes, totally. So then it's also interesting to me to look at that's what the Buddha was talking a lot about, conditions. What are the conditions that helps? Let's say peace, wisdom, compassion. What are the conditions that doesn't help that? It might lead to aggressivity, to hatred or things of that nature, and really seeing how condition is so important. And that's why I think one has to be careful to think of equanimity or the path or the meditation as helping us to be above condition. To me, the mindfulness, on the contrary, is an exploration of the condition that forms us and that we encounter. To me, that totally, your point is very, very important. Yes. Yeah, condition, context, of course, of course. Yes. That's what I think the point of the feeling tone is to see that, is to see that, because often you think it's in the thing itself, or you think there is something wrong with you. That's either way. But it's just, oh, that's what happened. To me, when I finally understood contact, I thought it was so, such a revelation to see, oh, I am feeling that because 10 minutes ago I heard somebody say this. Oh, I am feeling that because this or that. And I found it really interesting because generally we think, oh, it's my fault, it's their fault, something is wrong. And here you just kind of, in a way, to me, that's what creative engagement is about. Oh, I see this, I feel this, then it moves into this. And so it's not just the feeling tone, of course. Thought will come, emotional sensation will come, and you say, oh, that's what's going on. And that's what, for me, when I was the first time in the fMRI machine, I mean, I've never been in a machine like that before, it was so fascinating for me to see, you know, like everybody think I am this great meditation teacher, and, you know, I'm going to be like calm no matter what happened. And then I suddenly have this, you know, not panic attack, but kind of, you know, close to, and then to see what I did. You know, I kind of, we could have aborted and say, you know, forget it. And I thought, well, come on, you know, let's try to do this. So then I got the thing back on. I went into the machine. And for 10 minutes, I was doing five things together. I was watching the breath. I was asking the question. I was saying to myself, you can do it, you can do it, you can do it, you can do it. I was listening to the sound. I was aware of my feet. And what is interesting is that after 10 minutes of doing this, because I was feeling my body saying, you really don't want to be in this. And I could see that if I gave in, you can't do this, you really want to do this, I really could not be in there. To me, that's what was fascinating. That something, there was this kind of feeling which was kind of going to stop me from doing this. I found that fast. It was like this, I can't do this. And then after 10 minutes of doing all these different things, suddenly it was like nirvana. I was calm and relaxed and I just floating in space. And that was very interesting to watch, to see kind of, you know, yeah, of course, you have the, I mean, you have the power of the body, you have the feeling, you have the thought, but it's very interesting. Of course, it comes very fast. But I think with practice, that's what, you know, the equanimity, the creative engagement is about, to say, oh, yeah, that's what's going on. And also to see it quickly. You know, like You say it goes fast, but you see it quickly too. If you cultivate mindfulness, you see, oh, this is what I'm doing. And then instead of judging yourself for doing it, it becomes interesting. Oh, this is the way it feels when I see it. This is the way my mind goes after. This is the way I feel now. How long is it going to last? To me, this is kind of like what I found fun, to notice, oh, yeah, I feel something. How long is it going to last? That I find is very interesting. Exactly. I think it's kind of like the seeing is not just for the seeing. The seeing is to help us with the creative engagement. Okay, anything else? So we thought we would stop here, and there's going to be some announcement, but just I'll make a little announcement in terms of the eating and the silence. So in the house, we want to stay in silence for the people who enjoy that. But at the same time, you might have people who don't meet often and they're together here and they might want to go outside and have a cup of tea, have a meal, or go and chat. And that's totally fine too. Because I think these days can be also an opportunity to meet friends and chat and talk about Dharma or other things. So that's the way. But in the house, it's silent. So the people who want to continue with the silence can continue with that. And then Liz is going to give some announcement. But the idea is to come back really here at, I would say, 5 to 2. So everybody is here 5 to 2, if not before. If you want to rest here, please rest here. And then we can start sharp at 2.